One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. And
yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, two young girls suspect an older brother has returned home from college, only to find that something else very strange is going on. A white misty figure appears to a student delivering a speech on stage. And how common is it to share a dance with a hooved partner? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you're an EPP, extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to all the bonus episodes, its advanced episodes, and a fast pass email address, which allows you to get your stories to us before everybody else. Jump to the front of the line to get them considered for consideration on the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I got a chance over the holiday break to visit our favorite little ghost town,
mm-hmm.
which was fun. I got to show my parents it. It's in a place I've been wanting to show them for quite a while. Mm-hmm. The place we're talking about is called Garber, Missouri. And you're always really good at the history of the place. Give the 60-second synopsis of the town.
Well, most people have heard of the book Shepherd of the Hills. And what they don't realize is, yes, it's a fictional book, but it's based on real people that existed. And these people actually lived in this tiny town of Garber. And, you know, back at the turn of the century, like, you know, 1907, 1908, after the railroad came through, it was built, this little town was right next to where the railroad was, and people would come out in droves and experience tourism just to come see where this book took place and possibly some of the people that were in it. And so our area is dotted with all these little landmarks from the book, but that town is where the two main characters that the book is based off of actually lived. And there's all kinds of pictures, you know, of these two people. And it's just such a neat place, so filled with history, yet so forgotten in the middle of the woods.
It literally is. It's not like a ghost town where you drive through it and you go, oh, there was buildings here once, or there was once people who lived here. There is no road to this town.
No.
You cannot get to it without knowing where it is. And most maps have it misplaced, and I'm not going to say where it is because I like that. But it literally is a town, remnants of a town, in the middle of a forest. And that's what makes it so neat to me, the fact that this even exists like that. Because mm-hmm. most you know, ghost towns you think of, they're accessible.
Yeah, they are.
This is not remotely accessible, unless you know where to look in the woods. And walked out there, and you literally walk down what was an old wagon trail path that is still beat down from mm-hmm. the years of wagons going down it. And it's amazing how it has not grown over.
Yeah.
And it's not like four wheelers are beating this thing down. It's just, it's a path.
Well, it's rock. Stone. Yeah. Yeah, it's rock. So yeah. It's not like it's just a grass path in a field where yeah. it grows back up.
But it's there. And you walk down this old road that is just, you find in the field. And you get down to the town, and there's all these old foundations, and there's one building that's left, and it's the old stone house. It was a church. It was a post office. Mm-hmm. It had been used for those two different things. When you stand by the side of it, you would probably guess church the way it's structured. But it's still standing. But the structure on the inside is of an old post office, because that's what it was used as last. And the old counter is there, and there's an old window that's there. Mm-hmm. And it's all in good shape. And I was just happy to go down there, and the well is there. And it's an amazing sight to see. But it was really just kind of fun. I went there on Christmas Day.
And we both kind of had the thought afterwards, yeah. We should have had you take one of those, like, natural wreaths to go hang on the door.
Unfortunately, the door is no longer on the post office.
Okay.
But I would have liked to have, like, hung it on something there. Like, mm-hmm. there's plenty of wood around I could have.
Sure.
I could have hung it on something, but it was like, oh, I wish I would have brought a wreath to mm-hmm. just wish them a Merry Christmas, the ghosts of that town. And there are, like, ghost stories attached to the area, are there not?
All I know of is one spirit there. She had been the postmaster for a while, mm-hmm. and I haven't heard anything, like, super scary about it, other than that they believe she still haunts the area. It could be her. It could be a number of people.
Yeah.
But
I did not bring any souvenirs back. I didn't find an arrowhead. I found an arrow. The only time in my entire life, I've looked for arrowheads my entire life. And I finally found one. On the walk back, our first trip there.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who told me I couldn't keep it?
I don't think it's okay to take things from a ghost town.
Anyway, my dad found a, I don't know what you even call it. It's like the circle metal, like, rivet thing you'd, like, have, like, on a horse. I'm so not a
like
horse
part of
person.
The, part of the bridle?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the big circle. It's basically a circle metal ring.
Where all the leather attaches.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For the harness.
He found one of those.
Okay.
On the ground out there. And he did keep it as a souvenir.
Well.
And I said, don't tell Jen.
That's up to your dad. I just personally don't like taking things from ghost towns.
Yeah. I didn't take anything from there. But it was neat just to go see it. And just mm-hmm. I was happy to see it in good order. And I know this show is going out towards the end of January, but we're recording this on literally New Year's Day. so this was just a couple days ago for me. But that's my fun little, it's not really a ghost story, but visiting of a ghost town.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter says, this story goes back to when a new girl named M moved into the house a few houses down from me. We ended up being in the same class at school and realized that we had a lot in common with each other. We became best friends and did everything together. We walked to and from school together every day and would often go to each other's houses to play after school as well. I remember that she used to ask me if I knew anything about her home before she moved in, but I didn't and couldn't help her. I asked her why she wanted to know, and she would tell me that weird things would happen. But because of her family's religious beliefs, she isn't allowed to believe in or speak of ghosts or spirits. Her parents would always brush her off and just tell her that the house is old or that she has an overactive imagination. One day, we decided to go to her place after school, but when we got to her front door, she realized she had forgotten her key. We walked around to the back to see if maybe the door to the basement was unlocked. It was locked, so we knocked to see if her older brother was home and hoped that maybe he would hear us. We heard the lock turn, and then we saw the doorknob turn, and the door slowly opened a little. We thought that was weird and pushed the door open, calling Ray, expecting to see her brother be right there, but he was not there. We went inside, closed the door, and looked around the whole basement to find her brother, and he was not there. Em thought her brother was playing a prank on us, so we went upstairs to look for him, leaving me downstairs all by myself. After she had been gone for a moment, I felt a sudden cold chill all around me. It felt like it went through me. In that instant, it was as though all of the hairs in my body were standing straight up, and my instinct was to get out of there as fast as possible. To this day, I still can't explain exactly what that feeling was like, but it felt very wrong, and it was as though every part of me was screaming to get out of there. I bolted up those stairs, screaming for my friend, and I told her what happened, and she said her brother is still at the university, and we were alone in her home, and the whole time he was not there. She wouldn't know how to lock the door or how it unlocked itself, opening for us. I grabbed her and we ran to my home to wait for her parents to get off work. It wasn't until later that she confided in me that her little sister would cry and scream in the middle of the night because she could see a man figure in the hallway. Needless to say, we usually only went to my house after school after that incident.
I almost wonder if it's just, I'll call it a cohabitation ghost or ghosts, you know, where mm-hmm. they're still living in the house. Because it doesn't sound super ominous. I mean, a small child seeing something in the hallway that they don't recognize as being part of their family. Yeah, that's going to be scary, whether it's a good or a bad ghost. But the way it let them in, kind of like took pity on them and let them in, I almost don't feel like it's an ominous presence.
No, it's almost like it's there and it's just, hey, you live here too. Come on in.
Yeah.
Like you said, cohabitation ghost.
Yeah, I'm sure it was terrifying at the time, but, you know, hearing this story, it doesn't make me think of anything super bad or dark or asshole ghost or anything.
Well, just the idea of, you know, I think we have that a lot where it's basically a cohabitation ghost. And we were talking about that in the episode yesterday where it was almost, it's like it's there. It may not want to be seen. It's not trying to be seen, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there too. And as much as the living may say, don't let me see you, it may just be at the same point going, I don't want to see you either, but good luck.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have superpowers to make you not see me is you know, mm-hmm. probably what they think sometimes when you get that message. It's like, I'm not as spectacle as you may think. You know, it's like, I'm just here and I'm sorry that you have the sensitivity that you can see me. I'm not trying to scare you or for you to see me, but I'm here.
And yeah.
I think that sometimes is just how it is. And I think sometimes we read too much into it of like, what's their message? What are they trying to say? It's like, they're just there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just hanging out. They're doing their thing because that's what they know.
Right.
And they don't know why they're there any more than you know why you're there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they're just there. You know, they have a little more history behind us going, I'm dead, but I'm still here, clearly. I'm not quite sure why, but
mm-hmm.
Clearly this is what happened. So it's not as mystical as you know, sometimes I think on the living side, we may think it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And of course, if you're not an EPP yet, an extra podcast person, you've been sitting there listening to the show for a while over the holidays and whatnot going, what is that thing all about? Sign up to be one. You get all those bonus episodes of the show every single week. We get a brand new one for you every single week. Put a lot of effort into that. It's a whole different way of telling our ghost stories. You can hear the sample episode of it on Thursdays. Take a listen to that. But in addition to that, you get all 200 some episodes of those. You also get advanced episodes of the show as they are created. So you get the shows weeks in advance. So if we're on vacation for a week or something, you have shows to binge away on that are fresh, as well as bonus video content and so much more. The biggest thing is it keeps our show on the air. $5 a month is all it is to be an EPP. And with the support of a whole bunch of you saying, yeah, I'm going to do that, that's what makes this thing survive and has supported it over the last, what are we on, 5 years? Six years. So, yeah, that's what's made this thing happen. So thank you for that. If you already are one, I cannot thank you enough for your support. If not, and you're new, please check that out and consider throwing, you know, it's like the cost of a cup of coffee. Everybody kind of contributing allows us to do this thing because there's a lot of cost involved with keeping this thing on the air. Next letter says, hey, Tony and Jenny, I've been a big fan for a while of listening to your podcast. Wanted to write to you about something I've been wondering for a while now. I think I might be sensitive in some way. I'm almost 30 and have had many strange paranormal encounters. When I was 13, while in Israel, I felt someone standing behind me. Then I felt someone tap me on the shoulder. I turned to look, but there was nobody there. At 17, I was in a school play. While doing a monologue, I saw a white, misty-looking figure standing a few feet from me on stage. I got a feeling this was my mom letting me know she was watching me. A few years later, I was alone in the gym in my building and kept feeling like someone was standing behind me watching me. I searched all over the gym, but nobody was there. A few years ago, after my uncle died, I went to his home to clean out some of his stuff. I opened a door and saw him sitting in the kitchen table with his back to me. It startled me, and I blinked, and he was gone. After that, even when alone in his home, I had the feeling at times that someone else was in the home with me. In recent years, I've suspected more and more I have some kind of sensitivity. I'd see glimpses of what looks like shadows randomly. I'd walk down the hall of my building and think I see a glimpse of someone peeking around the corner at me and then disappear. I did some research on the topic of sensitivity. I read that it could be passed down from a family member. When I asked my dad if he's had any strange occurrences, he told me he did. He had seen shadows too. Also, when he was a young man, he was hit by a car. He remembers being hit, then walking up on the other side of the street. This happened in New York City, so the streets are pretty wide. My dad is convinced that he was somehow teleported across the wide street. That could explain my sensitivity. I'd love to know what you guys think.
Yeah, it definitely runs in families. And the fact that she can see and feel things, like literally feel like people tapping her and stuff, that's very sensitive, because sometimes people's sensitivity kind of stops at, I can feel like a presence, but I can't see anything or physically feel anything, or I can't hear anything. So, yeah, very sensitive.
It's an interesting angle that they took there of my dad had a near-death experience, essentially, and that seems to be where things kind of opened up for him. Can that then open up the window for your next of kin? Can that open it up where maybe you weren't sensitive prior, but because of your experience, does that then open up the experiences for your children if you have them after that moment? It's an interesting, it's like, yeah, you know what I mean? I never really thought of it that way.
And I see what you're saying. My gut says it's more so it's passed on if it was passed to you.
Yeah.
You know, if you get this, mm-hmm, from a near-death experience, I don't see that as being passed on, because usually there's more of a stronger family history. I'm betting as she found out or asked that somewhere there was a grandparent that probably had, yeah, something, or a great-grandparent. So I think that, you know, it may have been a case where this where her dad just had a double whammy of was already sensitive, plus near-death experience makes very sensitive.
And then it was kind of the first time realizing it.
Yeah.
In that moment. It's just an interesting way of thinking of it, because I never thought of it that way. It's like, well, suddenly brought this on at this moment.
And, you know, obviously, I don't know if what I just said is true or not, but
yes,
that's,
you do. No, stop lying to everyone.
That's just how...
Jesus.
That's just how my... my understanding of it kind of is, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's all relative. It's,
okay.
It's all how, you know, there's no right or wrong answer to any of this. It's just, I just wish you'd stop lying to everyone and telling them stories. Completely kidding.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I know.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've had another story about my dad. Recap, my dad passed away in June of 2010. While he was living, he was a prankster. Shortly after he died, I noticed little things happening in my bedroom. I'd close my bedroom door when I left the house, and when I'd come home, it would be locked. This happened every time. After breaking back into my room, I'd be settling in for the night and turn my TV on, and the volume would be turned all the way up, like maxed out. This didn't scare me because I knew it was my dad. That's just the kind of stuff he'd do to mess with me. One night after a long shift, I came home and did my usual routine, break into my room, turn on the TV, turn down the volume, etc. I fell asleep pretty quickly, but I woke up suddenly to what sounded like and felt like something slapping the foot of my bed. Just one hard slap. I thought the fitted sheet had popped off the corner and I ignored it. Then it happened again. I sat up, looked around the dark room, and I saw nothing. I checked the sheet and it was still in place. So I laid down and tried to go back to sleep. It happened again. This time it was a harder slap where I felt the air from the impact. It scared me and I yelled, "Okay, I'm scared. Please stop." And it did. I've not had another experience since. I felt like it was my dad, and after I told him I was scared, he stopped trying to communicate. What are your thoughts on this? Thanks for reading. I love the show and would love to hear what you think about my story.
It might have been dad, whatever it was, cared enough to stop when you said you were scared.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, somebody that cares.
It shows it's a conscious entity, mm-hmm. that it's going and responding to the request.
Right.
Essentially. So... is it dad? It's hard to say. Possibly. And very likely. But just hard to know. 855-853-4802. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your ghost story with us. We would love to hear it, especially like when it's happening. Sometimes we get those.
We do.
It's like, oh my God, this just happened. I have to tell someone.
I'm literally locked in a closet at work because this just happened.
We are the people to share that with.
Yeah.
So if you're ever like, who do I tell this to? It's us. Put that number on your phone. And then when weird shit happens, you just kind of press our button and you call us. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. Letter says, this is not a story, just a comment. I just listened to the story about the Native American girl dancing at a place called the Cupcake and noticed her dance partner had hooves and not feet. But 10 years ago, my mom, who was in her 80s, was telling me a story about when she was a younger girl. It was her birthday, and her older sister and brother-in-law surprised her by taking her to her first dance. It's a small town in California, Azusa, California. The dance was held during the day for young people. While she was there, she said a well-dressed, handsome gentleman asked her brother-in-law if she could dance with my mom. Her brother-in-law permitted them to dance together. My mom said the gentleman was a great dancer and very nice. After a few dances, my mom's sister insisted they stop dancing and leave immediately. My mom was upset because it was her birthday and they were supposed to stay longer. But this time, the gentleman had found a new dance partner. My aunt told my mom to look at him dance, and while he had on shoes and they could not see anything else, but they did see that he had hooves. My mom said you could see a pointy tail coming from underneath the suit jacket. My mom is also Native American, and it surprised me to hear the story. Thanks for reading this. I will become an EPP soon. So how's that for a fun story around the holidays when your family's together and you hear that one? It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. And you know what? This is something that we've heard a long time ago too. So yeah. It makes you wonder how often this happens.
You hear this quite frequently. We do hear it from a lot of folks who come from Native American heritage, mm-hmm. That share a very similar story. I don't know how many times we've heard a variation of this
yeah.
from someone who also defines themselves as being of that heritage. I wonder if there's more to it in terms of lore within the culture of, is this a common story?
Because
mm-hmm. It certainly seems to have been.
Or something seeking them out.
Yeah, it's bizarre and creepy. But thank you for sharing that with us. Gosh, I can't imagine
mm-mm.
having that happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Liberty from Inland Empire, California. So here's my story. Every time I would go out at night, I would always encounter some kind of crazy person or a crazy animal or something like that. Just remember, I have so many different stories. This is just one of them that I was trying to rack my brain to pick. So on with the story. I basically would ride my bike around and deal with all kinds of crazy people. Go into different hotels around the area because there's so many of them, and I'd have to use the restroom or, you know, go into a gas station or something that would be open and get something to drink, and just always have a weird, eerie feeling wherever I would go. And there would always be a lot of homeless people or gang members or something like that, or drug addicts. It's just, oh, you wouldn't believe what's going on where I'm at. It seems like a nice area. It's not. So there's always this one guy, kind of like a gang member-looking cholo guy. I mean, picture your run-of-the-mill gangster, you know, baggy pants and shirt and a shaved head, even though I have a shaved head, too. And Tony has a shaved head, so he could be a gangster. And this guy would always try to pick a fight with me. He never did. We'd come awfully close, you know, a couple of times. I've had to get tough back with him, and he'd usually walk away. But I would always see him, and whenever I would see him, and he would, you know, get the chance, he would always try to act tough. And so, you know, it would be from coming out of a gas station, having to use the restroom, and here he's there, or maybe he's sleeping somewhere. I'm thinking that he's homeless, or sometimes he gets kicked out of his house where he lives at. Maybe he's renting a room. I'm trying to draw all the different scenarios why I would run into this person in different precarious spots that would make no sense. But whenever I'd see him, for whatever reason, there's something about me he just did not like. And so there's this little industrial area right next that has a lot of different buildings. I'm wondering if I'm all over the place in the story. I really don't know. But this guy would sometimes live like behind those buildings, and it's right next to has a little trail right next to a water duct, an aqueduct, whatever the hell it is. And I'd see that guy there, and there's a couple of times where we've had some run-ins with each other while I'm riding my bike, and I remember getting off the bike one time and telling him, hey man, let's just do this. Let's just go at it, you know, and for whatever reason, he never did, and we've come close. Somebody always trying to stop us or something, and then I didn't see him for a while, and I thought to myself, man, I guess I'm in luck. I guess today I don't get to be messed with while I'm trying to relax and get over my stress and anxiety for whatever reason that I have it, and just kind of be in peace and wear myself out on my bike ride before I go to sleep. And then one night I went out, and here comes the scary part of the story. I went out, and I was pretty sure I saw him. I was doing the same little aqueduct, you know, trail and I saw him, and I was hoping it wasn't him, and it was him, and his back was kind of turned to me, and then it looked like he was turning around slowly. I was like, oh, shit. There he is. Here we go again. All right. You know what? If this guy does something, that's it. I'm just going to get off and just punk his ass. But that's all there is to it. We're going to do this. There's nobody here. I'm going to punch him. Well, as I got closer, there was just this real weird feeling that I had never had before. And I got a little bit closer and a little bit closer. I started slowing down on my bike, and I kind of noticed that he was, you know, not really moving, maybe kind of. It's really hard. I mean, I can picture it in my mind what's going on a lot better than I can tell you. But it's almost as if it was happening in little tiny frames. His movements were very strange, the way he was turning. And he made the same face toward me as if there was something that was bothering him. Then as he caught sight of me, he was kind of making this little mean look, you know, like, oh, there you are. I'm going to, you know, start shit. And I was looking at him, and I was so in shock. And I was sitting there, and for whatever reason, there's a little road, you know, a major cross street behind, you know, next to this trail. And I could see that cars are going by, and I'm looking at him, I'm getting closer. And I looked at him, I was like, what? And I was like, what do you want, dude? Let me get around you. And he's just not saying anything. And when a car goes by, I didn't pay attention until when the car goes by behind him, I can see the car through him. And I was like, there's got to be something wrong with my eyes. Maybe I need glasses. I don't know what the hell's going on. And I'm looking, and there's like a dog or something behind him, or some sort of animal, like a coyote or whatever, that's walking past him. And you can see it through him. And he's looking at me, and we're just kind of dead staring at each other. And he's got this little one move kind of back and forth. He's kind of, it almost looks like he's just kind of wanting to, it looks like he's kind of swaying side to side, you know, a little bit, like he's almost about ready to faint. And who knows why he was feeling this way, but I was wondering, why can I see through you? You know, and I turned to him like, what the hell is wrong with you, buddy? And he just slowly, out of nowhere, just as I was getting ready to go by him, I looked down for a moment and looked up. I was thinking to myself, don't look down. This guy's going to punch you. Sucker punch you. And I looked up. And as I looked up, I see him fading out, just disappearing. And he just goes away. He never walked away. He never moved away. He never said anything to me. And I always thought, did I see something? Am I having, you know, some sort of strange vision? Am I so ready to see this guy that, and finally just throw hands with him that I'm manifesting this in my mind? I mean, I don't know. But I never saw anything in the paper. I never knew anything. I mean, the guy could have been homeless. He could have been, you know, I've never seen him with anybody else. He's always alone. But, you know, I mean, he seems like the type of guy who would piss off somebody so much that somebody would probably get even with him. And who knows what would happen? It wasn't me. It was somebody else. And I'll tell you, I got a lot of crazy stories. But that one was recent. And within just a few months ago. It messes with me for a long time, just being able to see right through this person. And he's just gone. And I was like, wow. I was just thinking about it now. It's putting chills. It's not just the fact that it's like 50 degrees out right now, but at night, but it's like, here's this person and they're slowly disappearing in front of my eyes, and I can see through them. And I never saw him again. I haven't seen him since. All the places that I would frequent when I'm doing my little late night bike ride to wear myself out. Just, you know, I got a text from somebody just now and it freaked me the fuck out while I was telling you the story. That's how into it I am. But Yeah. Explain that. Is that me? Is that me? Is that my mind just playing tricks on myself? Or did this guy die somehow and still in his death, he wants me? You know, I don't know. You tell me. Let me know, Tony. I want to hear Tony go crazy over it and give all the different examples of why or what could it be, and then hear Jenny go, no, that's not, I don't know. No, you're just weird. Because I'm weird too, so hopefully, you know, we can live this out. But yeah, please, let me know what you guys think. Hopefully you play the story. This story doesn't scratch the surface of stuff that's going on. So this is Liberty over and out. I've had so many different stories I wanted to tell you, so now I have the perfect outlet. Thank you so much. Take care.
Liberty, tell us more. We'd love to hear more of your stories. I'll freak out now. I'm not going to freak out. I don't have
anything. I think my favorite part was when he said, because you're bald, you could be a gangster too.
I am.
Well, we already know that you look just like Al Capone, so.
I do, yeah. I thought you were going to say I look like Tupac or something, no. But no.
No.
No. Yeah, I do. It's funny because there's a bar in Wisconsin. There's a lot of bars in Wisconsin that claim to have Al Capone connections. But Capone used to drive up from Chicago up into northern Wisconsin to hide out. And he had his little kind of set of bars mm-hmm. he would go to along his way. And one of them is we actually have the porcelain sign from the front of it, but it's now called Capone's. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was called Club Harbor. I've seen so many interesting photos of that bar. It's about 100. I think the building was built like in 18 something. Mm-hmm. There's pictures of Capone and stuff in the building. There's even like that sculpture. What word am I looking for here?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's like a life-size statue.
Yeah, a statue of him. In there. And it's funny, because I do kind of look Al Capone.
So,
anyhow.
On to Liberty's story. I'm betting that this guy just picked the fight with the wrong person. And, you know, even though you haven't seen anything in the paper yet, I'd keep watching, because maybe he hasn't been found yet.
Yeah, and is he, like, really trying to find you? I don't know that I have the answer to that. I think it just maybe you're on the path of where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of in his area where he's still kind of lurking around.
Yeah.
On the other side is kind of my guess. I don't know that he's necessarily stalking you or anything like that, but just as within life, you kind of came within his circle when he was alive. You're probably still coming within his circle in death if he's still just kind of hanging out in the same places. Go ahead.
And I was gonna say, maybe he has, since you saw him last and saw through him, maybe he's figured out he's dead.
Yeah, or realized that someone's seen him mm-hmm. On the other side, because that can be kind of, I think, a startling thing sometimes too for the undead, the ghosts, or the recently dead. When you're over there, you may realize I'm dead, but okay, no one can see me, but every once in a while someone does.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, I think that'd be an insanely confusing proposition of, well, most people can't see me, but who can?
Yeah.
And every once in a while, someone does, and you don't know who will see you. And you're not trying to, again, it goes back to it's kind of the reoccurring theme we've been talking about. Like, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but sometimes people sense me or see me. And I guess it gives you some validation when you're on the other side of, oh, okay, this is good. But at the same point, it's like, what do you do with that? That ability.
Yeah.
Or that power. But anyway, Liberty, thank you for sharing that story with us. Really do appreciate that. And I would love to hear much more of yours. So please do continue to call back and share your experiences with us. I really did enjoy your storytelling there. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. GhostPodcast.com is where you do that. You get advanced episodes of the program. You get extra podcast person episodes. Brand new one every single week. 220 some of them now. All exclusive to EPPs. Check it out at GhostPodcast.com. We do not miss a single week with EPP episodes, whether it be holidays, whether it be me being hospitalized It doesn't matter. That is my goal. I'm not even...
I know. Holidays are hospitals.
Not even kidding you. Last year I was in the hospital, and my goal while in the hospital was, how do we get the EPP episode done and not die in that same week? So...
And you accomplished both.
It was a win-win. So there you go. That's how dedicated we are to this. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month to keep us on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, who is back regularly.
Yes.
Once every four episodes. So you'll hear her quite a bit again. Welcome back again. It's great to have you back here regularly.
Thank you. So, it's good to be back.
It is good. Until next time, for us, thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.